Hi, everyone. My name is Lori Musso, and I'm a WBS Shepherd leader and a leadership team member. I am thrilled to be with you here as I get the honor to teach what the Lord has placed on my heart about Isaiah 48 and our Almighty God. A little about me, I'm a wife and a mom, and soon to be a tutu, which is Hawaiian for grandma. I have been married to my husband, Dave, for 33 years, and we have three daughters. Brianna, who is 30 years old, Diana, who is in heaven, and Marissa, who is 26 years old. Both Brie and Marissa got married recently, so I'm proud to say I am now have two wonderful sons-in-laws, Matt Gretter and Stephen Solinas. My husband is a retired firefighter, and I just recently retired after 38 years as an educator. I started my career as an English teacher and ended it as the associate superintendent. I absolutely love telling you that my daughters, Bree and Marissa, attend WBS. What a blessing for me to be able to study God's Word with my adult daughters. The Lord continues to answer my prayers that my daughters would walk with Him. Bree and her husband are part of the worship team here at CPC. Bree sings and Matt plays the drums. Marissa has served the Lord as a young life leader and now, just this year, is a co-leader with WBS with an evening Zoom group. Yeah. I have been a born-again Christian since I was 12 years old. I love WBS. WBS was an answer to prayer for me as I prayed the Lord would help me to grow as the woman of God He desires me to be. I've been attending and leading WBS for 15 years now. And during that entire time, I have been blessed to study God's word, to know Him better, and to fellowship with all of you. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that your hand be on all of us as we study together your word in Isaiah 48. Send your Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear and our eyes to see you more clearly. Lord, would you show me your will so that I will be able to speak your truths? God, would you be glorified through this teaching, and my words be your words, and may this message be exactly what you want us to hear. Thank you, Sovereign Lord. So, as I mentioned in my introduction, I've been an educator for 38 years. 17 years of that was as a classroom teacher to teenagers. As an English teacher, I taught approximately 160 students a day. That is 160 teenagers with different personalities on any given day. Teaching is a calling. You do it because you genuinely care about the students and want to guide them to be their best. There are days, however, that test your sanity. And I know I have educated friends out there who understand that. Students will test your limits. Sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes you wonder what in the world they are thinking. But all the time you love them and you invest in them. You know that each and every one of them is worth it. My experience in the classroom really made a connection for me as I studied Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48 takes us to Babylon, where the Lord is experiencing righteous anger with his stubborn children. As they test his limits, and yet he stays true to his promises, he stays true to his character. Nothing will thwart God's plans or purposes for his children. My aim for this lesson is that we would know that even though God's people are unfaithful, God remains faithful. God cannot deny himself. God alone will be glorified. He is glorified as our redeemer, as our refiner, and as our teacher. Isaiah 48 is a very important chapter as it solidifies God's promises of the fall of Babylon from chapter 47, and now the return of the exiles to Jerusalem, the holy city. Unfortunately, Israel is not in spiritual shape for their return, and the Lord does not mince any words in this chapter to call his people's sin out. To dive into Isaiah 48, I've broken it down into two divisions. The first, God's glory, verses 1 through 11, and the second, God's direction, verses 12 through 22. So let's start with God's glory. Open your Bibles with me as I read Isaiah 48, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this, you descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. you who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Lord is calling out his people. They go through the motions of worshiping God, but in reality they are hypocrites. They claim to know God, but it is all talk. They make mention of God in their prayers and their praises, and they pretend to be mindful of him. They put a good face on a bad heart. They are wise in their own eyes, and they resist God's rule. The Lord Almighty reminds them that he alone is Lord. They are headed home from exile, but a change of address does not bring a change of heart, and the Lord is calling them out on it. They are still not at home with the Lord. They are still firmly entrenched with their idols. Verse 4 says, "For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron. Your forehead was bronze." What an image of a stubborn people. Your neck muscles were iron? This reminds me of times when I'm walking my daughter's dog. He's a lovely husky. His name is Boogie. I really love this dog. He has a great personality, and he loves to see me. Sometimes when I'm walking him, he wants to go a different way than I am leading him. I see a stiff neck in action then. So he stands very erect. His neck is absolutely tight. And no amount of pleading or pulling on that leash will get him to move. I am sure that some of you can relate to that kind of a stiff neck. I'm sure Boogie loves me, but at that moment, he is much more interested in his way than mine. He is not taking the time to think that my way might be better for him. He just wants his way. This is very much what's happening with Israel. They know the way of the Lord, but they want to go their own way. They were disobedient to the Lord while still pretending to worship the Lord. In verse 4, the Lord also tells us that his people have a forehead of bronze. If we stay with the animal metaphor, in the wild, many male animals butt heads. They are stubbornly trying to get their way or claim their territory. God is showing us just how stubborn and off track Israel is being, and how unworthy they are to invoke his name. They are hard-headed. The suffering they experience being exiled has taught them nothing. They call on God, but they harbor evil in their lives. Their old sin lives on. I am quite sure at times I have shown my Lord my stiff neck when I want my own way or I think I know best. How about you? In verses 5 to 7, God reminds Israel that he is the one who made promises and prophesied things long ago. His actions alone made them come to pass. He told them things long before they happened, so they could not give credit to their idols. They were a stubborn people who did not claim God's works. God is now doing a new thing and bringing forth something they had not heard of before today, so they could not say, "Yes, I already knew that." In verse 8, "You have neither heard nor understood. From of old, your ears have not been open. Well do I know how treacherous you are. You were called rebel from birth." Treacherous is a very hard word. It means to act faithlessly or to be ready to betray trust. These stiff-necked, stubborn people, and they don't listen and they don't try to understand. Treacherous is definitely the appropriate word for their behavior because they were the chosen people. They have seen the miracles. They have had the Lord with them always, yet they chose to go their own way, the way of the world in the sinful city of Babylon. They adopted some of the sinful culture of Babylon. They chose to mix their worship of the one true God with the worship of idols. They are tempted and succumb to the call of the idols and their own sinful pleasures. They give God lip service only. Certainly the phrase "you have neither heard nor understood" is very convicting. We make choices about what and who we listen to and make time for. Just as the Israelites did, we can go through the motions of our Christian life and yet have so many other things in our lives that take away from the time we truly have to listen to the Lord. I am reminded of when Marissa was in kindergarten and I was working full-time plus. At this point, I have moved from being a teacher to being an administrator, where I'm on call even when I'm at home. I really thought I had everything under control. I was a very successful working woman, wife, and mom, at least in my own eyes, right? Marissa was sitting on the breakfast stool, the breakfast bar that we have there, and I was hearing about her day. I was also working on the computer, checking my text messages. I was listening with the appropriate, oh, that's great. Oh, that sounds like fun. When suddenly Marissa stopped, she grabbed my face in her two little hands, yanked my face towards her, and said, "Give me your face." I cannot tell you the terror at my heart at that moment when I realized I wasn't hearing her or understanding her. I had let my precious relationship with my daughter be clouded by my career. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that my faith and my family would always be first for me, but I wasn't showing that. My five-year-old, with a turn of my face, taught me a great lesson. I believe the Lord was pointing out to Israel that they were giving idols their face and not truly listening to him. They were acting faithlessly. I believe the Lord is asking all of us to show him our face, to give him all glory and honor and attentiveness. He is asking us to act as a people full of faith. Time with the Lord is so important. When we don't spend time with the Lord, we can easily be distracted and give idols more time than our Lord. As we look at these first eight verses, all I can think of is, why does God bother with Israel? Why does he bother with us? Israel is clearly a sinful and stubborn people. They had been warned over and over again. They had originally been sent into exile because they did not listen, yet they continue to be stubborn and disobedient. They continue to look to idols for their strength. It makes me ponder, are my actions in line with my faith? What evidence is there that I am in the process of letting Jesus change my life? What idols are still in my life, keeping me from a deeper walk with our Lord? Do I give the Lord my face and truly listen to him? Verse 9 answers the question of why God would put up with Israel. He says, "For my own sake I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to completely destroy you." God doesn't give up on his people. He is a loving and merciful God. He will not yield them to an idol. He doesn't want to lose any of us. His promises remain true. God cannot spare the Israelites because of anything good in them, but he will spare them because of the goodness of God himself. He will spare them for the honor of his name. These people were called by his name. They were the chosen people. So if they are cut off from God as they deserved, the enemies would blaspheme the Lord's name. It is to the honor of God's name and his mercy he would spare them the punishment they deserve for their sins. God gives them mercy to glorify himself and to further his eternal purpose, ultimately that he would save all who come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. It is so important that the world know that he alone is God Almighty and the ruler of heaven and earth. He formed a plan and he will see it through. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. "See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." God is justly angry with his chosen people. Their captivity in Babylon was a punishment to refine them. In other words, to purify them and ultimately forgive them and bring them back to the Holy Land. Israel had been given chance after chance after chance. They were willfully disobedient and turned a deaf ear to the Lord. They were tested in the furnace of affliction and they failed. These verses weighed really heavy on me. Furnaces of affliction. I started to think about things in my life that I might think of as a furnace of affliction. Here's where we need to be careful. We suffer many things in this life, but that is different from the furnace of affliction that Israel experienced. Israel deserved their furnace of affliction. They brought it on themselves. They were stubbornly resisting God, and they knew it. They knew the right way, and they chose to go the other way. They were corrupt. They had years of God's faithfulness towards them as the chosen people. Our God is so merciful, so he had to refine them and make them fit for the mercy he intended for them. He tested them in the furnace of affliction, but not like silver. I looked up what it takes to refine silver. So the silversmith heats the silver until it is in a liquid molten state. Then all of the dross or the impurities come to the surface. The silversmith then skims the impurities off of the surface, and all that's left is pure silver. So it was interesting to me that the Lord said in this passage, not like silver. Because if the Israelites were in the furnace until all the impurities would be gone, there would be nothing left. The Israelites were completely dross, as confirmed in Isaiah 1:22. God has mercy on his stubborn people, not because they deserve it, but for his glory. I looked up the biblical definition of glory, and it said, God's eternal splendor and majesty. God is described as a sovereign king whose kingdom extends over all the earth. God created people in his image to share in his glory. He endowed them with gifts, enabling them to honor him with their lives. God can use our personal furnaces of affliction to refine us and to teach us so that our lives, our trials, our afflictions reflect God's glory and bring him honor and praise. Do we praise him for those afflictions? This leads us to truth number one. My personal furnaces of afflictions are opportunities to bring God praise. My personal furnaces of afflictions are opportunities to bring God praise. Do you use your personal fires of affliction to glorify the Lord? The glory of the Lord should move us to change. Do you see those afflictions as opportunities to praise him? God uses affliction to build our character and to test us. I don't believe God causes our problems, but he uses them as teachable moments. These character-building times are painful, but when we learn from them as God has intended, we grow closer to the women of God we want to be. It is hard to understand how our own painful process can be used to glorify God. I'd like to share a story with you to help illustrate this idea. When I was 7 years old, I started to lose my hair. It fell out in large chunks, and I had huge bald spots. At 7 years old, children can be cruel with the things they see as different or ugly or weird. I was seen as all those things and was teased and taunted mercilessly. It got so bad one day that I locked myself in my room and I refused to go to school. That day after school, my teacher came to my house. She spoke so kindly to me and told me that she had spoken to class and I would not be teased anymore. I was so scared to go back to school, but my teacher taking the time to care for me made me feel worth it. I'd like to tell you that I was never teased again, but that just isn't true. But what it did was help most of the kids in my class to see me as a person, as a friend, and not as the bald girl. When I was teased, many more kids came to my defense than those who harassed me. In seventh grade at junior high, your most vulnerable time, a boy pulled my wig off during passing time in front of everyone. I crumbled to the ground and covered my head. You see, he had run off with my wig. By this time, I was completely bald. I felt ugly and exposed. My friends surrounded me and carried me to the office. My wig was returned, and I went home to recover. Over the years, I have prayed and prayed and begged God to give me my hair back. But what God gave me instead was his strength and his love to show me the outside doesn't matter. The inside is what counts. He never left me. Years later, I would learn and realize that the Lord used my alopecia, which is the medical term for total hair loss, to guide my path. I became a teacher because I wanted to make a difference in someone's life the way my teacher had made a difference in mine. I ended up teaching teenagers because that was such a crucial time for me and my alopecia. I learned to share my alopecia struggles with my students and let them know that is why I would passionately fight for each and every one of them to be treated with love and respect, and why I would also have no patience for anyone who chose to disrespect a classmate. I believe my affliction caused me to be a better teacher. It taught me to build strong, empathetic, and loving relationships where others could see Jesus reflected in me. Later on in my career, I would teach adults who wanted to be teachers and also teach prospective principals. I would share my alopecia story with them to remind them of the children we serve and how important it is to know them, to love them, and be fierce advocates for them. To this day, I do not believe the Lord caused my alopecia, but I know he chose to use it for his glory. I am happy to tell others it is only through the grace of God that got me through those trying times and how he used it for his glory as in my life as an educator. Sometimes it is so hard to accept things that happen in our life, but if we keep our eyes on the Lord and think of his glory alone, we can, by his grace, praise him and give him glory. I can praise him for my affliction. I love this verse in Romans 5:3-5. But we also glory in our sufferings because we know the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I still don't have any hair, but God refined my faith and trust in him. He turned my affliction into an opportunity to praise him. He gave me perseverance, character, and hope in him. The desire to get my hair back is completely gone. I don't even pray for that anymore. The affliction showed me the Lord's plan for my life to be able to glorify his name as an educator. So let's go on to division two, God's direction. Let's read together verses 12 to 15. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first and the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Which of the idols has foretold these things? The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. His arm will be against the Babylonians. I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. God is showing us in these verses that he will never fail to be God. He is the first and the last. There is no other. He assures us of his sovereignty. We can trust him. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is omnipotent. All is under his control. He again points out the worthlessness of idols. God used Cyrus to defeat the Babylonians just as he said he would. Even a pagan king is under God's control and can be used for God's purposes. Let's read verse 16. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. At the heart of Israel's sinfulness is their failure to listen. 8 times the Lord asked them to listen, hear, or understand in this chapter of just 22 verses. He is trying to get Israel's attention. He's saying, show me your face. He reminds them that he has always spoken plainly to them from the very beginning. He has spoken to them through Moses and all the prophets. He has been with his people from the beginning. He has performed many miracles. None of this was done in secret. It was done publicly so that they might understand. Verses 16b and 17, we have a new speaker. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. It is believed that this is the Messiah speaking, solidifying God's promises for a Redeemer. God is motivated by a great love for his undeserving people, including you and me. We were designed and purposed to obey and praise our Creator. God is calling us to listen, and he as our Redeemer will teach us what is best for us and lead us in the way that we should go. We stray off course when we don't listen. Listening is a crucial skill in our walk with the Lord. The first step in listening is to give the speaker our full attention, starting with eye contact, or in other words, give me your face. In your relationship with the Lord, are you looking up and giving him your face? The Lord speaks to us through his word, through sights, sounds, thoughts, and impressions. We must be attentive to his messages. When we seek to hear him, we will find him. Listening helps us to build our relationship with the Lord. What does it mean to listen in our walk of faith? Here are a few practical tips. When you're reading God's word or a devotional, take notes. Use words, phrases, or sketches to capture the main points of what you're reading or listening to. The reading or the lecture can just wash over us if we don't actually engage with the speaker or with the material. Using a journal is also an effective tool to focus us on actively listening to understand God's direction for our lives. Taking notes in your journal helps you to layer on learnings and be reflective over time. I love using a journal to track my prayer requests and praise Him for answered prayers, whether they were answered the way I wanted them to be or not. Another technique is paraphrasing or summarizing. This means giving the information you learned back in your own words. Summarizing a passage from the Bible can be a powerful internal listening tool. Application. The highest form of learning is when we can take what we have learned and apply it to our daily life. We need to develop God-centered and God-honoring habits. Are you reading your Bible daily? Do you have prayer quiet time daily? Do you pray the scriptures for yourself or for loved ones? I marvel that the Lord Almighty says, I will teach you and guide you. This is such a personal statement that the Lord Almighty has so much invested in each of us. Jesus was and is the greatest teacher ever. Jesus' teachings have endured over 2,000 years. He taught us through his example, through parables, and through his word. In John 14:23, Jesus tells us, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Jesus also gave us the Holy Spirit as our teacher. The Holy Spirit continues to teach us and remind us of Jesus' teaching. In John 14:26, Jesus says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. What a great God we have that he loves us enough to guide us to his good purpose. We need to give him our face, our time, and our attention to learn the path he wants us to take. Are we paying more attention to what the world says than what God is saying? Let's look at verse 18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Stubborn Israel had not paid attention to God's commands and caused their own troubles. God is lamenting over his people's unfulfilled potential because of their disobedience. How happy and fulfilled they could have been if they had obeyed the Lord. If their sins had not turned them away from God, they could have had peace overflowing. When we learn to obey God's commands, we experience peace. We are able to recognize the Lord Almighty is above all things, including our problems and circumstances. When we lift our eyes up to the Lord, there is a peace in the light of his presence, a peace that passes understanding. Verse 18 also says, your well-being would be like the waves. Such beautiful imagery. Waves keep coming and coming and coming. However, we do know that waves also crash. But then they keep coming and coming, right? So God's peace keeps coming. We know that in this life we will have trouble. But unlike those who do not know the Lord, we know the Lord Almighty will be by our side and be with us and guide us through it. Verse 19, your descendants would have been like the sand. Your children, its numberless grains. Their name would never be blotted out nor destroyed before me. God is speaking to sinful Israel about what could have been for them if they had obeyed. We need to be careful that we don't take this personally. There are those of us who have suffered the death of a child that we didn't cause, and we may be tempted to say, how did I cause this loss? Am I being punished like Israel? The answer is no. We are part of a corrupt world. Death invaded our world in the garden, and we live in the reality of that. There is a difference between willful disobedience and the consequences of the world we live in. The Israelites were in willful disobedience. If only they had obeyed, their lives would have been so much richer. So now we get to verses 20 and 21. Woohoo! Shout for joy, the Israelites are freed from Babylon, just as the Lord promised. The Lord redeemed Jacob. He wants them to run and shout for joy. They have been delivered. God used the pagan King Cyrus to deliver them. Absolutely no idols were involved in this deliverance. Hallelujah. God tells his people to declare his praises to the ends of the earth. the whole world should know how great and merciful the one and only God is. God not only led them out of Babylon, but he provided for them in ways unimaginable. Verse 21, they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. God seems to be reminding them how he led Israel through the wilderness when they left Egypt. When they ran out of water, God provided a special rock that gave them water. This verse may be in reference to this being the new Exodus and how God will provide for them on this journey too. Water from a rock. Who is like our God? He provides always and bigger than we could ever imagine. I love that the Lord shows us in this verse, he is always with us. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the living water. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Okay, so now a little reality check. We have a patient and loving God who wants to guide us in the way that we should go. We have learned from Isaiah 48 how important it is to listen, how important it is to keep our eyes on the Lord, how important it is to turn away from idols, and how important it is to follow God's commands. There is a consequence if we decide to resist and rebel against the Lord. Verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is peace in obedience, but there is no peace in rebellion. There is no sin so great that it can separate us from God if we truly repent. Israel spiritually drifted away from God, and their hearts became hardened to a point they weren't truly repentant. They failed to listen to God. There are approximately 70,000 Jews taken captive in Babylon. Many of the Jewish community got very comfortable and thrived in Babylon. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he released the Jews to go home. Only about 42,000 went back. The rest did not want to leave the comforts and the possessions they had acquired in Babylon. In verse 22, the Lord is reminding them they have temporary pleasures and peace, but there will be no lasting peace for the wicked, those who don't listen and follow God's commands. There is a high price to be paid for those who reject God. This leads us to truth number two. When I listen to the Lord, his teachings will guide my path, and he will give me his peace. When I listen to the Lord, his teachings will guide my path, and he will give me his peace. Ask yourself, do I make time to truly listen to the Lord? Have I implemented God's teachings and leadings in my life? Do I value his teachings? Am I experiencing peace even in the midst of difficult circumstances? There is no magic wand here. It's about daily surrendering. You may be fighting for that peace. Don't let the evil one lie to you about the things you are suffering. God meant them for good. He wants his people to praise him because he wants his people to know him. Steeping in the truth of his word will give you that peace that passes understanding. The evil one wants to steal your peace. Don't let him. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Listen, learn, and love the one and only God Almighty. God has clearly shown himself in Isaiah 48 as the redeemer of his chosen people. They were undeserving, yet he brought them out of Babylon. He is glorified in his mercy towards his people. He clearly refined Israel through the furnace of affliction that they might turn towards him and glorify his name. He taught Israel through his word and through his commandments, and he led them in the way they should go. In our own lives, we need to listen to the Lord, praise him as our redeemer, and follow his commands and his teachings. Are you being stiff-necked like Boogie? Or are you having a soft, teachable heart? Are you giving the Lord your face, your time, your attention? My challenge for you this week is to spend some time journaling. Write down and recite your praises for our Redeemer. Write down any sufferings and how you see God glorified through them and how you will praise him even in the midst of these sufferings. Above all, listen to the Lord, give him your face, and follow his teachings. Amen. You are so sweet. Thank you. So the worship song, Tremble, means so much to me. The first time I heard it was this August at CPC. I was so deeply moved by the song, and it is often part of my prayer time. I am doubly blessed because my daughter, Brianna, is singing this song, and her husband is playing the drums. So this song exalts the name of the Lord, an important focus of Isaiah 48. His name will not be overcome. He gives us his peace even through the fires of affliction as we praise his name. So let's worship the Lord together.